I knew this evening would fly, but it's just flying by. It's really amazing. Our last reader of the evening is Jan Beatty, and I'm about to pull out her bio, which I had stuffed in my pocket. Jan Beatty's fourth full-length book, The Switching Yard, was published by the University of Pittsburgh Press in 2013. Library Journal named it one of the 30 new books that will help you rediscover poetry. Other books include Red Sugar, Bone Shaker, and Mad River. Her work was included in Best American Poetry 2013 and featured in the Huffington Post as one of the 10 women writers for required reading. She has toured at venues such as the Los Angeles Times Book Festival and the Geraldine R. Dodge Festival. For 20 years, Beatty has hosted and produced Prosody, a public radio show on NPR affiliate WESA-FM, featuring national writers. She directs the creative writing program at Carleton University, where she runs the Mad Woman and the Attic Writing Workshops. Go, Mad Woman. And teaches in the MFA program. Let's hear it for Jan.
Yeah, a little lower. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. How's it in the back? Is that good? Yeah, okay. Well, I want to also thank Bob and Leslie and all of you for coming. And really happy to be here with Celeste and Stacy. Very cool. I wish we could do this all the time. But Stacy, you got to move back to Pittsburgh. Yeah. So we got Celeste here. We got to get you here, back here. And I want to thank Don Hollywood, because everyone's talking about Don Hollywood. And he's hiding back there. Okay. Oh, and this reading is dedicated to Katie Hogan, who is so cool and is director of women's studies at Carlo and just got a really big job at University of North Carolina in Charlotte. And we're going to miss her. And she's helped, yeah. I know that she's helped a lot of women in this room. And I know she helped me, that's for sure. And I know she's going to help a lot of people in North Carolina. So, this is called Shooter. I shoot the old man who followed my 11-year-old body on Smithfield Street because I smiled at him because it was Christmas. I shoot the man who jacked off on the bricks of our house, put a ladder to my window when I was 12. I shoot the professor who said my work was illogical, then used me for publicity when I won an award. The businessman who wanted to talk about my teenage breasts. I'm loading and reloading. The guy who walked up to me when I was a cashier and asked about my hole. I hope you still like me when I say the gynecologist stuck his tongue down my throat when I was 16, the writer who read his gang rape poem to a room of women students. I'm putting my finger on the problem, the man who poses feminists, the predators, the rapists, the bullies and thugs among us. My uncle who tried to kiss me when he was drunk, my 60-year-old neighbor who grabbed me when my parents weren't home. It was my fault. A man named Roy who wouldn't stop when I said no. He said, shut up. He said, now. He taught me to love the trigger. I'm shooting the cook who grabbed me from behind in the restaurant kitchen, the famous poet who said there are no great women writers, the boyfriend who left his handprint in black and blue, the men who say we're too serious, prettier when we smile. I'm smiling and shooting. The shrink who tried to lock me up, the boss who gave me a ride home, wanted a blowjob, pushed my head down, the poet who said I didn't praise him enough. Here's one for you. the restaurant manager who told me to grow a thicker skin and wear a skimpy uniform because, really, we have an attitude. We need to lighten up. I shoot all the men I've left off the list. So I don't have to worry my pretty little head about it. So that one was also featured in Heart. Thank you to Leslie. And Shooter actually traveled last year to Paris, and it was in this conference on gender and violence with a video. So it's traveling. Okay. I'm going to read one new poem. I'm working on some new ones, but this is one. When I was in Dublin last year with Celeste and the amazing Tess Barry, who's not here, but we met some interesting people. This is called The Secret Book and Record Store. On Wicklow Street in County Dublin, the freaky doll heads sit next to the books on how to please a woman, how to cook explosives, and how to write a screenplay. Dermot, the shaved head, black t-shirted proprietor with a heavy metal belt, talks about poetry and how light could look like an approach to a destination, or it could look like that yellowy light that lives outside a prison, giving you that feeling of not breathing. The narrow aisles are lined with brown strong boxes of books, Guinness memorabilia, political stickers, and buttons. Freebird records are in the back with all vinyl rock and roll, old punk, and t-shirts with pictures of Marley, Dylan, and Clapton in a row. The store's motto, abandon hope, all ye who enter. Now Dermot's talking about Kilmainham Prison. When they built it, it had toilets, but then they took them out. The prisoners were having too much fun. His eyes sparkle and he leans in. It's made of limestone, he says, which absorbs water from the ground so it stays freezing all the time. Even so, during the famine, people would commit crimes just to get in. He said that just beyond the prison is an art gallery that's quite nice, Irish Museum of Modern Art, used to be an old soldier's rest home. He's quieting down now, leaning back on the wooden stool behind the old register. One more thing he wants me to know. That in poetry, the light in the distance could be the grand opening to a new heart. Or it could be the end of the line, like the feeling of running out of light, like the prison he knows, Kilmainham. It was wild over there. People would just start talking like that, you know? They would. They just start talking in poetry, and I'm like, hold on a minute, give me a pen. And I was like, like, say that again. C was with me, remember?
They called you Jan.
Yeah, they called me Jan in Ireland. I don't know why. I don't know. Okay. Ghost daddies. When I was a girl, I was a boy with black boots and holster and a basketball hoop in the backyard. My reach was endless. I was birthed in a meteor shower, and all the stars knew my name. Ever since, I've been on street corners with gimcrack men you wouldn't want to know, making myself a luminary. I had this piece of paper. Took years to get it, the story before the story changed, before the government got their hands on it. I've been told. My first father was a millionaire, his name on my birth certificate, voice on the phone, his lame-ass answer. I didn't come inside her. I was the small voice asking. He was the hammer coming down, shattering me into shooting stars. I covered my bedroom ceiling with planets, prayed for a meteor hit to bury the house. My second father was a hockey player who fucked my mother when she was 20. I drove to Boston to meet him, armed with her picture. He didn't remember her. I was a professional athlete, he said. There were a lot of women. His green eyes burned familiar, and I thought he was a good man. Then 2 weeks later, he said no, he didn't think he could be my father. I decided I've come from a long line of cowards, men who can only stand up if they're fucking flaccid after that. Sometimes the earth moves in my dreams with lies about my past. I was bent on ruination, drugs for lunch and dinner with some dope in between. My face, the face of no father, unrecognizable, so why not? I was the immaculate cum shot. I was the wildly surviving thing racing after ghost daddies in dreams. Dear father, whoever you are, I hope the sex was ravenous with cross-checking, slashing. I hope there were slats of light everywhere to see my star on the other side. So I'm going to read this one that I can't read very often because it's too dirty and you can't read it in Barnes & Noble. But I thought this is a perfect place. So I was in Winnipeg at this restaurant and trying to think about my birth father, who was born in Winnipeg. And I was at this restaurant writing poems, and I kept getting ideas, so I had to go back to the restaurant 3 nights in a row, and it was kind of getting kind of expensive. But it was a really nice restaurant, in case you get there. It's called Three Faces and All These Fallen Gods. I'm surrounded by fallen gods in mosaic, one with his shield battling a tiger and losing, another with three heads, man, woman, girl, rising from a green vase in a bong-like cloud, just like my childhood. The third with the god in exile, just him and his blunted sword watching for the coming redemption, not pictured. I'm in Tre Vici, 3 blocks from the Manitoba Hall of Fame and my father's picture. It's all too much. The Canadians are aesthetes, and I'm sure my birth father will walk in. I'm reading James Allen Hall's poetry so as not to appear lonely, but looking pitiful instead. I like the way he transgresses the ugly with the tender. The brutality reminds me of an article I read in Vanity Fair where this bank robber visits his ex and sticks a .44 up her twat, and how I got turned on by that, but could never tell anyone. Who could I tell? How he would move the gun around inside her, say things like, "Is this too cold? Do you want me instead?" I thought, how unusual to find a man who'll do that, cross a hard line and whisper at the same time. And the opera playing is Puccini's Tosca, the waiter is meeting my every need, and I am filled with magical thinking. My father has certainly eaten here, his DNA here. I am in his seat in Winnipeg with three faces and all these fallen gods sinking into the Tre Vici, three faces of longing, loss, and desire, wanting him to walk in, say, "I've been looking for you." Younger, I spent too many years wishing men would say something hotter than I could think of. They never did. Because really, I just want to be relieved of making it all up. Let them run it hard and write for a change. If they could sell their body blazing with a gun, I'd buy it. Instead, I eat my stracciatella and farfalle, pretending a reason to be here. I eat spicy sausage and the wanting that keeps me in this seat, watching the door, thinking, yes, it's too cold. Now, turn it a little. I have 2 more poems. I was thinking of Stacy. Stacy and I were in this same issue of Best American Poetry. So, you know, Denise Duhamel hooked us up. And but before I got in there, I wrote this poem because I was pissed off, and as I get. And which, it's healthy, right? So I wrote this poem. Dear American Poetry, I see you're publishing, straight man, white, 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 how nice. Are you kidding me? Best American Poetry, I'm bored to death. Is anyone alive out there? Your sonnet is impotent, and I have a hard-on. Here's your bloody sonnet. Cunt, 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 cunt. The needle dick, the needle dick, the knee. American poetry, tell your mother you'll be home late. If anyone's out there waiting for you to lick them good, it'll be a long night. I was once fucked by an intellectual in iambic pentameter. My hand was better and more responsive. Your friend, Jan Beatty. Thanks. So then I found out I got in Best American Poetry, and my editor, Ed O'Chester, said, you have a very bad habit of getting in trouble and then having to get out of it. And I said, and I got this email from David Lehman, who's the editor of Best American, and I thought, oh no, like, what's he going to say to me? So he said, dear Jan, I've read your book, and I thought it was very good, and when I got to Best American Poetry, I laughed out loud. So that's pretty cool, I thought. Okay, this last poem is for Jim Morrison, who is a Sagittarius. And the moon's in Sagittarius tonight. I'm a Sagittarius. And it's for Kayla Sargeson, who's not a Sagittarius, but has a lot of it in her. And this requires no explanation. Drinking the Lizard King. Except to say I went to see the Doors in 1970. A long time ago, and that's when Jim Morrison was taking off his clothes and pissing on the audience, and there was the Miami incident where he got arrested, etc. Okay. Drinking the Lizard King. God of the soft parade, mojo king and poet of Venice, and second song he started. Wishful, sinful, our love is beautiful. Stripped his shirt down to muscled shoulders, threw it in the audience to bloody screaming, slid into a sideways Lizard King walk, unbuckled his belt, whiplashing his leg with it. We all wanted to die inside that slap, down to the neon. And we knew there were two kinds of people in the world, people who loved Jim Morrison for pissing on the audience, and Republicans. He copped a stance, waving his cock like it was the way, the truth, and the life, and it was. Just to be covered in him, we opened our mouths, and when the cops rushed the Miami stage, he drops to his knees, his neon green jockstrap glowing. He grabbed his cock out, swung it like a fire hose as they dragged him off, and we were baptized in the water of the Lizard King. We were stoned, immaculate. To be pissed on by the god Morrison was like being fucked in a muscle car, all cylinders firing full out, and nothing in the way. Thanks.